tonight we're going to talk about getting into the Word of God. Remember, we're talking about what this salvation that God has given us. It's a progressive thing, and there are several elements to salvation. Last week we talked about how that we can resist sinning, and tonight we're going to talk about that we need to drink deeply from the Word of God. The Word of God, it has been around forever. Think about that. Of all the words that's been spoken, of all of the words that's been written in history that we know of, the Word of God has been around forever. It's always been. It has always been. So, as Christians, we desire to know God. We desire to experience God on a different level, a deeper level, than just something that's superficial of, I heard the word and I believed and I was saved. My question is, what did you do after that? And that's what we were talking about last week, in terms of we need to clean house, and we need to resist sin in our life. And tonight we're going to talk about we need to drink deeply from the Word of God. I have something I want to read to you. That's why I asked about Dolores, because she would appreciate this. But, oh, well, you're late and you lose, right? Dolores loves J.I. Packer. He's a writer, yeah. Christian writer, and she loves J.I. Packer. And I actually excerpted this from a book that he wrote. It says, in his book, A Quest for Godliness, subtitled A Puritan Vision of the Christian Life, J.I. Packer reports that a Puritan preacher named Lawrence Chatterton once apologized to his congregation for preaching for 2 hours. They responded, for God's sake, sir, go on, go on. You like that, Brother Larry?
Yeah, I like that.
At 82, after preaching for 50 years, Chatterton decided to retire. He received many letters from 40 clergy begging him not to, testifying that they owed their conversion to his ministry of the Word. And Packer states, and this is what I was going to read to you, Puritanism was, above all else, a Bible movement. To the Puritan mind, the Bible was, in truth, the most precious possession that this world affords. His deepest conviction was that reverence for God means reverence for Scripture, and serving God means obeying Scripture. To the Puritan's mind, therefore, no greater insult could be offered to the Creator than to neglect His written word, and conversely, there could be no truer act of homage to Him than to prize it and pore over it, and then to live out and give out its teaching. Intense veneration for Scripture as the living Word of the living God and a devoted concern to know and do all that it prescribes was Puritanism's hallmark. We must have God's Word to grow in our salvation. There is no other way that you're going to grow in salvation without knowing what God says about Himself, about His ways, and about us. It is through the Word of God that we have truth as closely as we can approximate truth in this life. We, all the time, you'll hear, I want to know the truth of a matter. And God is, in every truth, God is in that truth. We need to understand that there is barriers to knowing God's Word. And as soon as I say that, I'm sure that all of you immediately would come up with, well, yes, I do not read God's Word as I should. That would be probably the mantra of most Christians throughout the world, is I need to read the Bible more than I do. I need to study the Bible more than I do. How do we do that? Tonight I want to look at three different characteristics of the things that the Word is like. Number one is how to be motivated to drink it in, and then how to drink it in. What is the Word like? The Word is pure. Hebrews 4:12 and 13 says this, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. And then the psalmist writes in Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." So, the word is pure. Now, when you think of pure, what do you think of? What comes to mind when you think of something that's pure?
Clear.
Clear, like pure water. Okay, what else?
Flawless.
Flawless. No impurities. It's perfect, right? Pure, perfection, clearness. What else? When you think of the word pure, especially when it comes to the Word of God, what do you think of that God's Word is pure? What comes to your mind then?
Truth.
Without error?
Living.
So you have this idea that the Word of God is necessary for us and is desirable for us. So my very first question to you tonight, to begin with, is why don't we read the Word of God and study the Word of God more?
We just have too many interferences.
All right, got too many things going on, too many other things going on in our life. What else? Let's be honest about it.
Lazy.
We're lazy. Amen, sister. I hear that. What else?
Commitment.
All right. Lack of commitment. No commitment. All right. What else? Come on. You know what they are. You know what your barriers to reading and studying the Word of God is on a daily basis. What are they? It's only whenever you begin to realize in your own mind and your own heart and you confront that, that you can at that point begin moving forward from where you're at. If you continue to deny and not to confront, why is it that I would rather watch TV than I would rather watch or read the Word of God? Why is it that I would rather do whatever? You just fill in the blank. Why would I rather do this than to study the God, the Word that God gives us? Let me give you some suggestions about why I think that a lot of us have problems with that. We all would agree, I'm sure, in this room, that studying and reading the Word of God is beneficial in many, many ways. You just heard two passages of Scripture that basically says the Word of God is power. And in that power, there is power to heal, there is power to convict, there is power to illuminate. And then you hear about all of these other attributes of the Word of God that are all positive in their scope. And in terms of the totality of our life, they are things that we say, yes, that's how I want my life to be. I want it to be like that. And yet we find that even with the best laid plans that we have of, okay, I'm going to get on a plan, I'm going to fill out, here's my reading day after day after day, and we, just like our New Year's resolutions, they go out the window after a week, maybe after a day. Maybe you're really dedicated and you get through 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden, it just drops off a little. I didn't do it today, but I'm going to make it up tomorrow. I didn't do it. And then I'll never be able to get to this point. There's a disconnect somewhere in our minds and in our hearts that we see the Word of God is good. The Word of God is desirable for me. But there's something that keeps us from stepping over, leaving the whatever hinders us behind, and saying, I'm going to commit to this with all my heart. And that's really what I want to talk about tonight. Because you can hear preaching and you can hear teaching about this. It's almost like tithing. You can hear it all you want, and there's something that we just start turning it off. And we just shut it down in our minds. And it's like, I don't want to hear that. I don't whether or not we don't want to be convicted over it, whatever it may be. But like I said, until we seriously sit down together, or yourself, whoever you are, and say, what is my barrier to truly making the Word of God the most precious thing that I have, that I own? Just like I read about this Puritan that says he thought that the Word of God was the most precious thing that he owned. How many people would be able to say that today? Whenever you say, what's the most precious thing in your house? Would you immediately point to the Bible? Or would you point to some knickknack that has special meaning? Or some big truck out in the driveway?
Lad, can I share something?
Share away, brother.
On this, on the power of the scripture that you just read. Also, Randy, because it took me years of all the study and everything to finally hit me right upside the head about the Word of God and His power. And I had never related the Word of God, the ultimate Word of God, as the slayer of in the Battle of Armageddon, where the blood is going to run to the top of the bridles. If when you read in the book of Revelation that when Christ comes, the enemy of God will be slain by the Word of God as a two-edged sword coming from the mouth of Christ himself. It's not a battle that we are there, but it is every Word of God is so powerful, like a two-edged sword, the very enemies of God will be cut down because they refuse to read and to pay honor to the Word of God, Jesus Christ. He is the Word. And when I know that now, how many times has He given us His Word to use the Word of God in difficult times, like when somebody is having, you know what, this person is having a hard time. Well, go share the Word. Well, no, it's got to be more than the Word. Mm. There isn't anything more powerful than His Word. But when you're thinking about the power there, just think of that. And the Word of God that is in Christ is in us, meaning the more we quote and under, you know, and use God's Word, the quicker you will find the enemies of God conquered. And when I say conquering, to focus of when you lead a person who is fighting against God, when you watch him change through the Word of God that touched his heart, and you've heard me say it many times, they become the closest friends you'll ever have. Many times were your what you considered your worst enemies. What made the difference? The Word of God did.
I want to comment about that, and I want you to think about this. When you talk about the Word of God being powerful, more powerful than a two-edged sword, able to divide, mm-hmm. right? Whenever we talk about problems in our life, whatever the problems may be, whether it's problems with our physical bodies, whether it's problems within a family, you know, relational problems, whether it's problems that we have with individuals outside the family, whether it is problems of society that we see just crumbling around us, the morality of society seemingly just disintegrating before our very eyes, and we say, what can be done? What can be done? And the Word of God is always the answer. And if your mind, if I say, make that statement and your mind begins to blacken, you have to ask yourself, why would my mind start to darken when I hear that the answer to all these problems is the Word of God? I can tell you that, and I believe that, and I firmly believe that it is in prayer, it is in proclaiming God's Word. Not, you know, you don't have to be a teacher or a preacher. Proclaiming God's Word is, you have a word in season. You hear someone say, oh, if I only could do this, or you know, what woe is me, what am I supposed to do? And we've all been in those situations, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit gives you a message of his word direct right then, and you say, let me share something that God is wanting you to know. And that is an answer directly for that individual. And that individual then accepts that word, or they reject that word, either way. But if they accept the word, are not individuals changed by the very word of God? That we see people that maybe have been, and this is more your bailiwick, maybe these people have been on drugs. And they don't know how to get off the drugs. But the word of God is more powerful than the drugs. Mm-hmm. The word of God leads people to a place where they find peace, as you were speaking this morning. The word of God allows us to stand boldly like lions in the midst of the lion's den and say, this is what God says. And know that no matter what, God's got our back, because we're speaking the very word that God is giving us to speak right then. Who can stand against that word? Again, I want you to continue to think, why am I not reading, why am I not studying the word of God on a daily basis? And what is it going to take for me to begin to do that? All right, so we know that the word of God is pure. All right, so we know that in that purity that there is no error. Number two, the word is rational. You know, God's word isn't just out there and it's some... Have you ever... he's one of those Jesus freaks. You ever heard that? You know, something along that line? Well, they're religious. You know, they're off their head. And people seemingly use a relationship with the Father, a relationship with Jesus Christ, as those people have got a screw loose, and therefore they're not rational. Those people that speak this word are not rational, and they want to turn the word off. But my challenge to all of those individuals would be, have you ever actually listened to the word of God from someone that is saying the word of God in truth and in love?
That as alcohol is intoxicating to folks who use that, the word of God is intoxicating as far as the focus of you said that's my bailiwick. So the idea, well, I just want to get a buzz on. You don't know what a good buzz on is until you've read the word of God.
Amen.
And knowing that the word of God is so powerful that your enemies and nothing can... All they can do is kill the body, but the word of God keeps us safe, period. I mean, you get high on that. Now, well, is that not right with the Spirit, Brother Randy, when we talk about a mountaintop experience?
We want more of it.
We want more of it. But the only way we can get more of it is to come down and do something in the valley with what we've been given, and then get back up there and you get more of it. God's not going to waste that, is he?
No, I don't think God wastes anything.
No, he doesn't.
But, you know, here's the thing about the word being rational that's important for us to understand, is that why should I read, why should I study, why should I know God's word and have it in my heart? When I say have it in my heart, where it's a part of me, where I can just simply start saying God's word as you all see me do. You know, this isn't scripted. And the word of God comes from my heart as the Holy Spirit gives voice to it. Proverbs 35 says this, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. I want you to look at those two passages because they're parallel in a lot of ways. Every word of God proves true. In other words, what God says, God does. What God says, God does. We think about that in terms of prophets in the Bible a lot of times. What God has proclaimed through a prophet, it will come true, or it did come true. And that's proof that God's word is true and that God gave that word to that person to proclaim. But it's more than that. It is a guarantee for us when we study God's word that we have no fear that we're going to be tricked, that the Word of God is always proven true in our life. I had this notion years ago that people that lived in the biblical age, you know, reading the Old Testament, or even the New Testament, but especially Old Testament, that they were so primitive that how could they possibly understand, if they were placed in today's society, how could they possibly understand what we're going through? That I believed that, and I thought that. And God, and it was through Psalms, I can tell you where it was for me. It was through Psalms. I'm reading the Psalms, and God's like, oh, really, Randy? You think that David or any of these people that wrote these Psalms, they can't relate to you? And you read the Psalms, and I began to cry. I began to become choked up. I began to see things in a way that I hadn't before. And what that means to me is, it's not that it's just beautifully written words. But again, we go back to the Word of God is powerful, more powerful than a sword. And that sword, it pierced my heart with the truth that God was giving me, that, Randy, this word stands true then, and it stands true today. And there is no variance in that truth. The truth is just the same as it was for David, as whenever you hear David write these words, that it is for you. When I read Psalm 18, and I read, my life was almost done, and I cried out to God, you know, I was thrown into the depths of the sea, and I was going down, and I cried out to God. And then God heard my cry. And then God was angry. And God gathered up the clouds, and he come down on a black cloud. That got the back of my neck just stood up. I mean, I say it right now, and I'm choking up over it. That's how powerful the Word of God is. And maybe that particular word doesn't touch you like it does me, because I have an experience with that particular word that I equate every time I say it. But you can trust the Word of God to be true in your life. The Word of God will give you illumination in your darkest times. When you don't know what to do, the Word of God is always there as a beacon of light to say, follow this path, and everything will work out. Well, Lord, how will it work out? Do you not think that whenever Moses came to the Red Sea and he had the Egyptian army in behind him, and all the people were looking, we're trapped between the sea and this pursuing army that's going to kill a bunch of us and then take us and put us back into slavery, and we'll be worse shape than we were. And God says, Moses, I just want you to hold your staff up, and I want you to make the seas part. Or Moses, when you're out in the desert and you're thirsty and you've looked for days on end for water and you haven't found any water, I want you to go up to this rock and I want you to hit it with your staff. Or I want you
to speak to it.
To speak to it, which he didn't. He hit it with the staff, and that's why he ended up not going into the promised land.
Yeah.
Speak to the rock, Moses. Speak the word to the rock. You see, God works in ways that to our minds are crazy. When you actually consider these events that I just mentioned, all of those three events, the parting of the Red Sea, the hitting the rock with a staff, speaking to the rock to make water come out, we think of any of that. If you're out in the desert, that's not the first thing that's going to come to your mind. Well, it might be as a Christian. Maybe, Lord, if you do it for Moses, maybe you do it for me. And I probably would try. But my point is, you don't have to understand why God's word works like it does, but you can be assured that God's word is rational and that it is always going to do us good. The third thing, go ahead, Larry.
Let me,
go ahead.
Jesse just made a statement, boy, that sounds a little harsh, doesn't it, about him not getting go to the promised land. Let me remind you all of something.
You can hear what he wants.
Do I?
How you heard her. How
did
you say that?
I like to see it.
It's the Word of God.
I don't know. I can't hear. But you and Debbie, I just can't hear. What is that? Anyway, yes. When Moses was not allowed to go cross over, he was allowed to see it. But I know of no other, there is no other individual in Scripture where we have Scripture that says, and God buried him. It was God who buried Moses, and no one knew where the grave was. You can understand why on that one. But, and God buried Moses. And he, see, Moses got to go to heaven. The rest of them had to go into the promised land of battles and all. So it was a blessing for Moses, but also a lesson for the followers. Because you got to remember, Christ was not on the scene from the way of mercy, yet mercy was extended. What an honor to get God buries your body, and you and him standing there looking at it while the bird. I mean, I just picture that. How, man, that's awesome. Sorry, Randy. I was distracted by the peanut gallery over here.
The word is also nourishing. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel like I need daily nourishment and food. How many of you all fast? How many of you fast? Every once in a while, maybe? Okay.
Not intentionally, most people don't.
All right. So outside of fasting, we desire nourishment, and we need nourishment to keep our bodies going so that we can do the things that we need to do on a daily basis. How much more so do we need the nourishment of God's word in our life? Now, again, I want to point out something, and I'm going to do it over and over and over if you haven't figured it out, but now, why don't we consume it? Why don't we consume it? If the word of God is nourishing, and then you've got a couple of scriptures there that support that. But if the word of God is nourishing, and we acknowledge in our minds, yes, the word of God is nourishing. Let me just point out some nourishing facts about the word of God. The word of God gives us knowledge to live our life well. Right? Now, I don't know if you think about nourishing and knowledge in terms of the same thing, but think about if you wanted to live your life well on a daily basis, and you needed a guide to help you with that, because just by your own powers, your own mental powers, that you're finding, I'm missing something here in my life. I'm not getting, there's something missing. I'm not getting everything that I need on a daily basis. I'm doing life, but I don't feel like I'm doing it well. You know what I'm talking about? Do you ever feel that way? I feel that way. I'm not doing it well. Well, God says that if you follow my word that I have given you, if you use the knowledge, the wisdom, the examples of others that made mistakes that you don't want to make, you have it all right here in this neat little book that we call the Bible. It's all condensed. I mean, you know, got a Bible? You know, we got it all condensed in a nice little book that can be really kind of neatly put in this leather binder thingy. And if you're not into that, well, maybe you put it on your phone. Maybe you put it on your computer. Maybe you listen to it. But who doesn't want something that is pure, rational, and nourishing every day in their life? Who of us in here would say, nope, Randy, I'm not interested in pure, rational, and nourishing to help me live a better life. I'm not interested in that. And yet that's exactly how we treat the word of God when we hear something like I'm telling you tonight, because I've listened to this and I listen to myself. I mean, I'm preaching to myself here. What is it that would keep us from dedicating our life? A little bit of time, a lot of thinking, a lot of just, Lord, what do you mean here? What do you mean in this mercy? Should I show mercy to my enemies that have hurt me? Should I show grace to someone that continues to just pour hurt upon me? Lord, what do you mean that I need to do these things in my life? Well, how can you ever know the heart of God? How can you ever know the mind of God unless you read, unless you study, unless you ponder in your heart what God says? If you don't know what God says, then how can you know that you're walking in the right way in life? There are many things in our lives that we take for granted. And you know why we take it for granted? Because we don't think about it. We simply do things, and in doing that, we don't get hurt. Therefore, we think it's okay. And we continue to do that, and we don't get hurt. But you ever have someone, after a while, that's around you a lot, and they say, why do you do that? Why do you do that? You do it all the time. You know, you get in one of those honest moments, which we all hate. You get in that honest moment, and that person says, let me tell you something. You've done this for years. Why do you do that? And you're like, what? I didn't realize that I was disturbing you like you're coming across that it's disturbing you. The reason I say it that way is that in studying God's Word, in reading God's Word, in consuming God's Word daily, we're going to be closer to the mind of God and therefore be protected in many ways that we would, in our own, offend others. I'll give you an example of me. My sons, both of them, they'll say, Dad, why are you so mad? And I can tell you why they say that. One is the look on my face, and two is the tone of my voice. Dad, why are you so mad? And it always takes me back because I do feel this tension inside of me a lot of times. And a lot of it is just like, why isn't life going like I want it to? And that flows out through all of us. But it always takes me back. I'm like, I'm not mad. Well, you could have fooled me. Because the way your tone is and you're snippy, you know, with me.
That's all time.
Yeah.
It's common.
But let me share this with you. I was getting my hair cut Saturday, and the lady, I was at Great Clips over in E-Town, and I sat down. Never had this woman cut my hair before, and she's one of these people that's a talker. From the moment that she took my name in the computer until she set me down in her chair, until I left that building, the woman never shut up. And I had to smile, because that means I don't have to talk. I don't have to say nothing. I just have to listen.
It's hard for you.
So I'm like, Well, this lady, she's a young woman, and she began, and she's also of Korean descent, and she's like, I would really like to go to Korea, and I'd like to see where I was born, and I was raised in the United States. Her mother had died at an early age, and she had to come and live with her aunt, and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, okay, here we go. You know, that type of thing. Here we go. I'm going to listen to this. But then it turned a totally different way than what I thought it was going to turn. She started talking about how no matter how bad her life was, that she was a Christian and that she knew that God loved her. And all that she talked about from that point on was how much God loved her and how much we need to love each other. That's all she talked about. It was love, love, love. How often do we get a conversation like that from a total stranger? But that, to me, was God saying, Randy, this woman is looking at my word and taking things through my eyes. You, on the other hand, are trying to analyze everything that comes your way in life, and you're making judgment calls on this, that, and the other. She's just simply saying, it's all about love, and I need to love more, and I wish I could love more. And when I left that place, I felt good, but at the same time, I felt a little sheepish because I'm like, God, I need that. And the Lord said, you've got that. All you got to do is start loving and allow people to love you. But you got to start loving. You got to start showing love, not just saying, Mom, I love you. Even though that she knows that and I know it. You do know that, right? Okay. Go ahead.
I was just going to say about the Korean lady. Do you think that she saw anger when you sit down? And the longer you had to listen, the more angrier your face looked. And that way she wanted to tell you about God's love.
Nail him, Faye. Nail him. Nail him.
It's possible.
Well, I wondered.
It's possible.
Yeah.
But yeah, whenever she started talking about all these problems and all of these, I'm like, here we go. But and I say that because that's life, and that's truth for me. And the truth is that God's word, the more that I stay close to him, and I can tell you this for a fact, and most of you know this too, when I am reading the word of God daily, and when I am thinking about what God is saying, and God is speaking directly to my heart on a constant basis, I am happier and I'm much more at peace and settled. When I get away from that routine, I'll just say it as a habit, Brother Larry. When I get away from that habit, when I get away from that routine and I don't read the Word of God first thing in the morning like I usually do, and I don't think about things, and I just simply get through the day, and I do that day after day after day, several days goes by and I don't read the Word.
Yeah,
and
that's what habit will do to you.
Now, the good habit was I was staying in the Word. The bad habit was I wasn't. So there are two different habits.
Yeah, okay. All right. One called dedication.
You know, as we women, as we age, right, I guess we all know it, and all those hormones change, and you got the thing, you know. Danielle would say that to me, Mom, you look like you were going to chew that lady's throat out. And I went, what do you mean? She says, you were so angry. And I went, no, I wasn't. She goes, yes, you were. And then I had to learn over the years when those moments come, okay, Lord, I need you now. Let's go and take your book, read it, and it'll calm you down, you know. Because it's like that song, just breathe.
Yeah, just breathe. Danny Gokey song.
Because busy, 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 because that's how our life is. And those things don't matter. If you just stop, pick up the book, and say, okay, it's time for you and I, Lord, even if you've had your devotion in the morning. Because when life gets so busy, you just got to go get it. You just got to get him. You got to just sit down and talk to the Father with the book. Just show me now, Lord. Calm me down. Yeah. I don't need an anxiety pill. I don't need this. I'm not taking any of that stuff. This is my anxiety pill, you know.
But I think you do need a Bible app on your telephone.
I have one.
So you don't. Okay, there you go. That's where she'd read it. Because she's not going to carry the Bible all day. Are you?
Right?
Oh, yeah. All right. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. I couldn't see them. You know, Randy, another thing about why, and I'll speak to myself over the years on that too, why don't you read more? As you know, I do all the time now. But I had a hard time, let's say, starting 40 years ago when I was called to preach, because the more I studied God's Word, the more the tradition in which I lived, the belief system that I had was challenged, because you know what my grandparents Pappy Sam had said, I'm reading the scripture and the scripture doesn't say that. Well, it bothers us when we were raised traditionally, those of us who were in the Christian faith in church. And then the more you study, the more you see challenges from God's word to how you thought. And it's hard. It is hard to change when, you know, you were raised hearing it one way, and yet God calls you to preach and you're reading it and you're saying, no, that's not what he is saying. That's not the way that it is. I want to hang on to what Mamnor and Pap Sam said, because I love them,
mm-hmm.
and great Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, something must be wrong somewhere. Well, something wrong somewhere is me. It wasn't that they were wrong in the tradition of their time, but the scripture spoke to me in a way that it did not speak to them at that time. And that God's word is solid, never can be confronted, but we are changed in our thinking because of the power of it. And people say, well, you know, did you ever worry about your grandparents or relatives? Because you never heard them talk about what we talk about today. I know now that the Word of God is that powerful that for their generation, this is how they related to God. And it's not that they were wrong and I'm right or anybody else is. That's just the facts of the Word of God. Would you have ever dreamed to be in a generation like we're seeing right now with the Word of God that was trampled under feet, and there's more people trampling it than there are people who lift it up? Sorry, Brother Randigo.
Well, let's read the scriptures about the Word is nourishing. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, Paul says, I fed you with milk, not solid food. Now, what he's talking about there, the Word of God as milk would be the foundational information that you need. What does it mean to be saved? What does it mean that Jesus went to the cross and he died for our sins? That's the milk. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now, you are not yet ready.
Yeah.
So here you've got a church. I would just want to point this out. You've got a church here in Corinth that is on fire for God, and seemingly. You've got people that are doing all the miracles that Jesus did in this church. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are poured out abundantly upon this church, and yet they're still carnal in so many ways. And Paul, you know, in the letter that he writes to them, he points that out. But here's the big thing. You cannot be ready. You know, you've heard this over the years. I'm just not being fed. I need the meat, not the milk. We've heard it many, many times in church. What does that mean? That means that these individuals somehow are not getting what they feel like they need to be getting. Well, the thing is that you, at some point in time, have to take responsibility for your own feeding. All right? The milk is given by the preachers and teachers and to get you started, to grow you up, to get you a good, solid foundation, strong body. But the meat of it, the preachers and teachers, they can teach it and preach it, but you've got such a mixture in a church, especially. You've got people that's never heard the Word of God walking through the front doors. They're not going to know what you, if you start preaching and teaching meat right then with those type of individuals, they're not going to know what you're talking about. It's going to not have any effect on them whatsoever. The meat comes from, and Paul is saying this, it comes from you taking a stand in your own life saying, all right, I'm going to move on from these foundational things. I've got that down. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I get it. Now let's move on to what some of the other things that God is. And you heard Larry say this morning in a sermon that it's hard for me to explain a lot of these deeper things of God as just intellectually try to get it out, let alone try to put it into a sermon format, into a teaching format. When we have a hard time, a lot of it, getting it deep in our hearts to begin with, what is God really saying here? But you have to start to dig, and you talk about the more you read the Word of God, the more that you study the Word of God, the more you'll want. It's like exercise. When you first start out exercising, it is so easy to say, I'm done with this. My body aches. I'm hurting. This is too hard. But if you get past that one point, and there's a point that we all reach in our exercise regimen, that if you get past this one point, it gets easier, and then it becomes fun, and then it becomes addictive. You can't not do it. You want to do it. It's something that you start to feed off of. The Word of God is the same way. It's no different. You're just developing different spiritual muscles that you haven't developed in your life up to that point. And you have to push through it to get where. Have you ever been around people, say, that's really on fire for the Lord, but they're also very knowledgeable about the Bible? And say, man, I want to be like that person. I'd like to have that kind of knowledge, that kind of wisdom. I'd like to be like that. You know you're not there. Well, it didn't magically get there. There was no magic formula to getting to that place. That person got there the same way you're going to get there if you ever get there, is just simply by pushing and pushing and pushing, thinking, praying. And God is building you into the spiritual person that he desires you to be. And quite frankly, folks, that's going to go throughout eternity. We're never going to reach our full potential, if you want to call it that. We're always going to be learning. God is always going to be revealing new things to us. That's what makes living with the Lord forever such an exciting proposition, that it'll never end, that there always will be new challenges, new things to know and to do. All right. Number two, how do you be motivated to drink in God's word? Been talking about that the whole time we've been talking. Two things. First, negatively, in a negative connotation, put off relational sins that hinder the word's effect in your life. What do I mean by relational sins? It's what we talked about last week. We know that when we sin in any way, that impedes our relationship with the Father. And it's more it's on us, not God. It's not God saying, here I am, you can come to me, the writer in Hebrews could not make the statement, you can boldly come to the throne of grace. If that was not God saying, the door has been opened, Jesus has made a way, and that word boldly, it's not meekly. He could have said, you could meekly come to the throne of grace, and we could all picture ourselves doing that. Lord, here I am again, I've sinned, and you just get closer and closer. And we do that. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But the word boldly that the writer in Hebrews uses, it means that you can come freely without any hindrance. That's what that word means, freely without any hindrance. That the hindrances of sin have been wiped away by the blood of Christ, by the sacrifice, the atonement that Jesus made for us. Therefore, we can come in without any hindrances to God and say, Lord, here I am again, and this is, who I am. And you just start your conversation, whatever that conversation is going to be. So that's what it's talking about, negatively coming, sins that hinder the word's effect in your life. Listen to what James in chapter 1, verse 19 through 25 says. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. And I just leave the rest of it off. How many times have we heard, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only? I've heard it since I was little. It's one of those passages of scripture that has got weight to it. And the weight is, it's easy to come to a study like tonight, and you just consume. We just hear. But what do you do with what you've heard? You hear me pray this a lot. Father, if we are not changed by your word today, before Brother Larry preaches, if we are not changed, we want to be changed. If we're not changed, then we're wasting our time. It's all just, if it's a really good sermon, Brother Larry, it's just pretty words. I go and I'm happy that I heard pretty words, but it does not change me.
What if it's a bad sermon?
If it's a bad sermon,
you didn't miss anything.
Yeah. Is it really a bad sermon?
Not honestly. If it's the word of God.
If God's word is invoked, can it be bad? But anyway, that's a never topic.
We do this all the time, as you all know.
Be doers and not just hearers. We are a consumer-driven society. We consume all this stuff. How much junk do we have in our head? How much junk do we have in our bellies? We consume. What do we do about the consumption? Do we share the good word that we hear, do we share it? How often, when was the last time that you heard, I'll just use Brother Larry as an example. You heard something that Brother Larry said, not one of those colorful offhanded remarks, but something that from the Word of God that you heard that really just kind of hit you upside the head and it's like, man, I never thought of it that way. And then you go out and say that week, you share with someone else. Let me tell you, I was listening to the preacher preach, and this is what he said, and then whatever that is. When was the last time you shared with somebody the Word of God? A lot of times, we do not. We consume the Word of God, and yet we lock it away in our heart, or it's just simply something that we have heard, and we just let it go. Is not the Word of God precious? Is not every utterance that God... I want you to think about the God that created everything has decided that he's going to speak directly to you. The God that put the universe in motion, that spins the planets, that makes gravity, that makes the galaxies, that made you and me, and we can't even figure out how to cure the cold. And yet he decides he's going to talk to us personally. And he's going to use his word that we call the Bible as a personal reference for you. This is something that you can constantly refer to and constantly have good vibes from all the time that you can learn from. And yet how do we treat the Word of God in our life? Do we treat it as something that's precious, as something that is so pure and wonderful and great that we lock it away in our hearts and that we want to share it with everybody else, that we store up all these words and we want to share these words with people because they are so great and so wonderful? Or do we just, well, that's just another thing, and we just treat it like another thing? And I'm guilty of that. I am. I've treated God's word as another thing in my life. And when I treat it that way, it does me absolutely no good. I get no from it. It's just another word, another good read, another good story. And I like to read. And there's lots of stories that I've read that I think are wonderful stories. But there is no story that I have read that will change my life like reading the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful, and it continues. I've read through the Bible probably four or five times, you know, actually did that reading in a year, four or five times in my life now. And no telling how much other stuff you read. Brother Larry, how many times have you read, and all of a sudden you come across a passage, and it hits you upside the head like it never did before?
Every time I read, that happens.
It's like, Lord?
Yeah.
I never saw that before. I never had it talk to me that way before.
That's why we've become slow readers, and this is a fact. When you're looking at one sentence, for me, I break down that sentence.
The fact of digging deeper, that means that what you're reading, there's other things pertaining to that. And we should study that as part of our studying.
Yes.
But you'd read straight through the Bible, you miss a lot of that.
Yes. It's like driving down the interstate. You're hurtling down the interstate at 75 miles an hour or faster. And do you take time to notice any of the sights? No, you're just getting to your destination.
Yeah.
The destination, when I read through the Bible, is to get to the end.
Yeah, dig deeper. Yeah.
But whenever I take time, you're right. That's where the jewels are found.
Yeah.
And a lot of places, my daily devotional has a dig deeper. And sometimes I read it hurriedly, and I don't dig deep.
Yeah.
But
in your mind, you completed the task.
I completed the task, but I didn't read deeper.
Yeah. And the reason we don't is because it takes time and it takes energy on our part to do so.
It's challenging.
But the reward is
wonderful,
innumerable. I mean, we really can't put a price on what the reward of doing that is. All right. So how else can we motivate ourselves?
So that'll make a sermon for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Indeed. There you go. All right. Positively, focus on the kindness of the Lord. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, Paul says, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Kindness of God. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Joshua 1, 8, the words of God to Joshua before he enters into the promised land. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You know, I told both my sons as they start out in life that the Word of God, if you keep it close to your heart, that God, through His Word, will give you success in all that you put your hand to. You know, whenever John, in 1 John, he says that we know that we have what we ask from the Lord because we ask it in Jesus' name. And Jesus says, ask anything in my name and I will do it for you. And that's in the Gospel of John. Those two passages of Scripture is talking about whenever you stick close to Christ, when you stick close to Jesus, the way you begin to think is the same way that Jesus thinks. When you study and continue to have the Word of God in your mouth when you speak it, in your mind when you read it, and in your heart when you meditate on it, and Lord, what is this that you're wanting me to know? That's why they can make that claim that you'll have what you desire, that you have what you ask for, because you're asking exactly what God would say, this is what I want you to ask for. Have you ever thought that way? That the Word of God is giving us the mind of God. And in having the mind of God, that we can know that whatever we ask for, we will have because it is what God says already that we should have, that we would be, you know, this is a necessary thing for me right now. And yes, God would give us that. That's what that passage, both those passages refer to. So often we pray for people that are sick. I prayed for Larry last week. And praise God when you come in the store Friday. When you left, I was doing some woo-hooing. And James came out, I was like, what's wrong with you? And I told him the story. And it is the power of God. It's not my power. It's not any of our power. That when we pray, that God answers prayer. God answers prayer because we believe. Jesus healed people because when they asked him, they believed that he was able to do so. Sometimes Jesus would say, you know, say, Lord, would you heal me of my lameness? And Jesus would say, do you believe I'm able to do that? Yes, Lord. Then you're healed.
Yeah.
It is our faith and it is our belief. And how can you have faith unless you know the Word of God? Unless you know what God says, how can you possibly have that faith? When my wife Peggy was diagnosed with brain cancer for the second time, and they didn't give her any chance to survive, she was going in for surgery, and my sister Vanessa came to the house that evening prior to the surgery. And she began to relay to me about a woman that she knew that more likely was Pentecostal, but that this woman believed in the power of prayer and in the power of laying hands and anointing and all this kind of stuff. Quite frankly, at that point in my life, that was fairly foreign to me. I had knowledge of it, but I had no heart knowledge of that. And so I'm desperate. My wife is dying. And Larry was there, and I didn't really know Larry that well at that point in time in my life. Larry was there when Peggy was going into surgery. And I remember laying my hands on Peggy and just coming off with some wild prayer. And it's a desperate man's wild prayer. I'm quoting Scripture and everything else that I know to do. And basically, I'm begging God to spare her life. in time, even though that prayer was prayed from desperation. And God honors that. Mm-hmm. I believe that. Because God looks at our hearts. But in time, I realized that because of my lack of knowledge of the Word of God, I couldn't confidently pray. I wasn't confident in that prayer. I was scared. And I'm thinking the worst. It is through the power of God, through His Word, the truth that's in that Word of God, that we find the power in prayer. So if nothing else from tonight, I can honestly say that I know that my prayer life has improved many, many times from that day, that particular point in time in my life. And that was a wake-up call for me. It was. It was a moment in my life that I realized, man, I'm woefully inadequate when it comes to spiritual matters. And that motivated me. May it do the same for all of us, and I pray that you never have to deal with that. Finally, how to drink in God's Word. A, read it. Acts 17:11 says, "Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the Word with all eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so." I want you to think about that. Paul's going out, and he's evangelizing. He's preaching, and he's preaching to the Jews primarily. And he's saying that Jesus is the Messiah that we've been waiting for. And instead of just saying, yes, we believe, or no, Paul, it's a bunch of malarkey, they said, we like what we heard, but we need to go and read the Scriptures that you're quoting, and we need to look, dig a little bit deeper to see if you're telling us the truth, if the Spirit of God resonates that way with us.
And remember, Randy, for people who are listening that aren't here, talking about the Scripture of the Old Testament.
Yeah.
It's all they had.
Yeah, the New Testament didn't exist at that point.
Yes.
All right, so we're going to read it. That's our first step. The second step is to study it. Once you read it, you got to dig deeper, Gene. That's right. John 5:39-40 says this, "You search the Scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life." And Jesus is talking to the Pharisees.
Yeah.
"And it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." So here are people that Jesus is saying, of all the people in Israel, you should be the most knowledgeable because you search the Scriptures because you believe that they have life, and they do. But if you really have studied it, then you would know that when I come and when I speak, that I'm the one you're waiting on. I'm the one you've been waiting for. And they did not. And then finally, you got to taste it. Psalm 19:10-11 says, "More to be desired are they," and talking about the Word of God, "than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." So, again, all I can do is encourage you. And that's what we do, proclaiming the Word of God. We encourage. I encourage you, if you have not started reading, studying, and tasting the Word of God, get it settled in your heart. Why is it that I don't? Or if you started and you drop out, why do I drop out? What is my problem? Confront that problem and get past it. Keep pushing. Keep pushing. Don't give up on it. Don't think I've stopped my reading, whatever it is, and I can't do it anymore. Continue to push on. And God will reward you greatly. That's the message. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Word tonight. And we ask, Father, in Jesus' name, that you touch our minds and our hearts tonight, that we would desire your very Word more than gold, and it's sweeter than honey. Father, impress upon our hearts and minds the truth of that statement that your servant in Psalms wrote. Lord, we want to know you. And we want to know how you think so that we can think and we can act like you think and you act. Only by doing that can we be set free to do the things that you call us to do. We thank you once again for your Word. And we thank you, Father, and we ask just for your help in our lives to accomplish the reading of your Word and to understand it. But more, Father, that we honor it as who you are. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.